Yeah. Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
Into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
Way of the Warrior, it is Eric O'Brien along with Ken Evans, Sean Desay. Out this week, the show brought to you by Gun Lake Casinos and Onnit. The Onnit supplements, you can find them online at onnit.com. And this is a dangerous thing, not doing this show literally right before the event happens.
Well, are we sure Sean's not here or he's not under the desk? Because April Fool's lasts all week, according to Vanderlei Silva.
Wow, it's been a crazy week. All right, so as this story unfolds, we have UFC on Fuel 9 tomorrow night from Stockholm, sold out Stockholm, Sweden, supposed to be headlined by Alexander Gustafsson taking on from Strikeforce Gegard Mousasi.
Mm-hmm.
A fight that I cannot really understate the amount of people, myself included, that were super excited to see this fight. On Easter Sunday, we start to see bubblings on Twitter coming out of Ariel Helwani's camp. Luke Thomas had some stuff. I know Brent
Which is the UFC camp, by the way, with Ariel Helwani.
Yes. Well, but then Luke Thomas had it, Brent Brookhouse had it, that Alexander Gustafsson suffered a cut and was probably going to be dropped from the main event.
This happened Sunday night here.
Yes, Sunday night here. So as we're all trying to make heads or tails of this, people like myself asking questions out loud, like, what in the hell are you doing in your training camp that you get a cut 5 days before your fight?
Right.
But then the naysayers kind of jump on Twitter and Facebook and go, hey, guys, want to let you know it's April Fool's in Sweden, so maybe this isn't a real thing. And so you literally saw most of the MMA community kind of just like dial it back a second. Go, here's what we know. Let me wipe my hands. I'm going to take off because we're not really sure what's happening. Dana White comes on Monday morning and says, look, guys, the fight is still on. Shut up. Okay.
Dana.
In the afternoon, when Dana hasn't tweeted for a long, long time,
yeah,
Vanderlei Silva decides that he's going to ruin everything by tweeting that he is now fighting Gegard Mousasi. So again, we all rush to Twitter and Facebook and the blogs and whatever and start writing, okay, Gustafsson is out. Vanderlei is in. This is an exciting fight. Who wouldn't want to see Vanderlei and Gegard Mousasi?
And the thing about that made it a little more realistic, and obviously we're going to go through the segments of what happened in this entire scenario, but he's training guys for Sweden. So he's got guys, and he'd already planned to travel.
Yes.
So essentially, he had been in a camp. He's going to Sweden already. He had his visas, all the things you would need to get a fighter in to fight a guy. He had all that set because he was going to corner some of his guys. So it seemed very realistic at that point that maybe Vanderlei Silva, he's a guy that would step up and fight. One of the old pride guys, he's going to go in there against anybody. If anybody calls him, says, you want to fight? Sure, I'll have a fight. That's what the background is on that, why you would believe necessarily in that situation that this is a real possibility here. We know it's only a week out, but he's a guy who would stand up and take that fight.
And guys like Luke Thomas from ESPN and Brent Brookhouse and Ariel Helwani and myself all kind of thought that if Gustafsson had a cut, he is going to get dropped from the main event and this was going to be a real issue. So everybody bites on this. Then Vanderlei has to do a little backpedaling and say it was an April Fool's.
Okay, let's wait, though. Let me reset
sure.
This part of it with Vanderlei. As we go through, Vanderlei sends out this tweet. He then has all those people you said try to start contacting him in his camp. ESPN,
yep.
MMA Fighting, all those guys. Tatami in Brazil, which is a very well-known...
Yes, that's where we get all of our news from Anderson Silva, comes from
right.
Tatami.
Yeah, they're a very well-known MMA outlet in Brazil, and they've got real close ties to Vanderlei Silva.
Shoot box, all that stuff.
Exactly. So they say, is this for real? So what you have now is Vanderlei Silva is responding to media members. Media members are calling saying, is this fight on? Is this for real? Gegard Mousasi has accepted this fight on Twitter.
Yes, and so an element that you might have missed, as this tweet is sent out, Gegard Mousasi is on the air with Ariel Helwani. And Ariel is asking him about the Gustafsson fight, in which he's saying, look, nobody has told me one way or another. I don't know if he's cut over his eye. I don't know if he's got this fight. As far as I know, the fight is on. Nobody from the UFC has contacted me. And he's getting angrier and angrier, not necessarily at Ariel or Ariel's line of questioning, just at the situation and these nuggets of information that Ariel has that Gegard clearly didn't have. And then as the interview is over, this tweet comes out, Gegard comes on and goes, yep, totally going to fight you. No problem. See you there.
Yeah, basically Gegard Mousasi at this point mentally accepts a fight from Wanderlei Silva. Now again, media members are contacting Wanderlei trying to get the inside scoop. They get a hold of him. He answers the phone, so to speak. And then he lies to everybody.
Yep.
He lies, and you can say it's a prank. At a certain point, you catch somebody in the prank, you're like, hey, I got you guys. Media members calling, look, I'm not saying you have to answer our phone calls. I'm not even saying you have to tell us the truth. But at the point you're a fighter and you've essentially said you're going to fight a guy and he's accepted that fight on Twitter, I think it's a little wonky for you to start lying to the media and just keep that going. So he does this all day. He doesn't let anybody know it's an April Fool's joke until April 2nd, the next day.
Right, when he issues a video apology, essentially saying, I'm sorry.
Wasn't that funny? And again, and I know a lot of MMA media members are just outraged, and there's a lot of, I don't know what I'd call it here, maybe faux outrage that people want to be worked up about it. I think there's a real case behind it, but I find it interesting that a lot of these guys in MMA media, and we're in there too, but we're not as close as some of these other folks, they are just blown away that they were lied to. Now, if you ask a guy who covers the NFL, it's draft season. These guys all talk to GMs. They talk to guys in the locker room. They're talking to coaches. They say when you cover the NFL, all these NFL guys, all these insiders, Jay Glazer would tell you too. He's a guy that's going to say, I don't trust a word coming out of these guys' mouths, especially this time of year. They're trying to use me. They're trying to use this. So it's another level of graduation. Welcome, MMA media,
right,
to the real world of sports, where the guys are going to lie to your face sometimes.
But this, to me, this is a little bit different, and I'm kind of in, and Ariel has been taking a lot of heat on this because he hates April Fools, and he had a very a terrible prank played on him that I won't out right now, but he had a terrible prank played on him. So he's got reason to hate April Fools. I also hate April Fools, but this is an interesting scenario in that draft season, I get it. You're trying to up your stock. You're trying to play a little human chess, so to speak. Here you've got a weird holiday landing in the middle of an actual story and somebody taking advantage of it. And that, to me, is what's different about this.
Well, it's certainly different. And I, again, it's the infancy of the sport and its fighters in regards to the fact that, hey, I don't know if I wouldn't have thought this was a little bit funny if he would have done this for a half hour, an hour.
Right.
It would have been picked up. He said, hey, just kidding. Look at the date on your calendar. He answered the phone. He talked to reporters. He lied to all of them for this joke. And what happens is, he brings another fighter and, by default, another camp into this. Gegard Mousasi, you know, I give him a ton of credit. He thought, he found out he had to fight Wanderlei Silva sitting there talking to a reporter, essentially.
Yes.
That's how it happened. And he was man enough to say, sure, I'll fight him. Not a lot of guys in the UFC, even those guys who say they're going to step up, would do that. I mean, I think you can count on one hand guys that might do that. Chael Sonnen's definitely on there.
Yep.
Gegard Mousasi's on there now. And a guy who would be on that list is Wanderlei Silva,
right,
which is why we thought this might be a real thing.
So, long story short, he says,
too late.
He says, my bad, I'm not really fighting him. As he says that, the version of the athletic commission.
So is the cut still real at this point? We don't know.
We don't know. So now everyone's like, I don't really know what's going on until yesterday afternoon or Tuesday afternoon. The Swedish athletic commission essentially comes on and says, no go. He can't fight. What's fascinating to me is this athletic commission, as I read into the rules, looks like it could have gone either way because they can medically clear him the day before a fight. But the cut was bad enough that it looked like there might be a possibility that he wouldn't be ready to go, as I read into the story.
Yeah, I saw that as well, and I think it was a proactive stance because, like you said, it's a sold-out fight.
Yes.
It's in Sweden. This is they've been there a couple times, I believe. This is probably going to be the biggest fight that they've seen.
Right.
I mean, Alexander Gustafsson, he beats Gegard Mousasi. He might be in line for that title shot next. This was going to be a huge fight. It was going to be even a big fight. You know, the fuel cards are, you're never sure where they're going to land. This was a pretty big main event. Any title contender type of event on fuel is a pretty big event. So I think what the commission here was trying to do was trying to be prudent and proactive and not stretch this out to the point that we're going to have to cut this fight basically the night before the fight. They looked at it, and again, we don't know what he was doing. We haven't heard a whole lot on this. There's still a lot of smoke and a lot of fog that hasn't cleared yet. But they wanted to make sure that something was going to happen, and it didn't happen the day before. They took a look at the cut, whatever he ended up doing. Like you said, I don't know if he walked into a doorway. He's a pretty tall dude. You wouldn't think he would be contact training enough for a cut.
No, I mean, I guess, and I kind of wish Sean was in town for this, but I had asked a couple people on Twitter and on Facebook, you know, what are you doing at this point? Because I would assume it would be slow rolling, pad work, and running.
Yeah, well, you never know. You could be slow rolling if a guy's got gloves. Which gloves does he have on when you're rolling? What's he wearing? Cuts can be weird. Cuts can come from strange things that you didn't even expect. Cuts can come from the equipment that's designed to protect you. So we haven't heard a lot about it. It was very foggy and smoky during April Fool's Day in Sweden, then April Fool's Day here in the U.S., then day after April Fool's Day, April Fool's Month in Brazil, apparently. Is what's going on.
Which brings us to this, which I wish was an April Fool's joke. Instead, it will be Alexander Gustafsson training partner, Ilir Latifi, who will step in, his nickname, the Sledgehammer. He is 7-2. He's going to take on Gegard Mousasi. First time in UFC history, a main event is being hosted by two fighters who have never fought in the organization before.
I think this may also be the first time in years that we have a fighter in the main event who doesn't have a Wikipedia page. Because I can't find anything out on this guy.
He is currently 7-2 on a 3-fight win streak.
That's a pretty good record.
Yeah, last guy to beat him was Emmanuel Newton. You may remember him. Yes, you will. He's the guy that KO'd King Mo the other day in Bellator.
That's right.
So Latifi can certainly hang with some dudes. He's a former Swedish national wrestling team wrestler. This is what's interesting about this fight to me, Ken. This guy has a decent pedigree. Yes, we haven't heard of him. Yes, it's fun to make fun of him. Yes, he has a very difficult name to say. However, what is the upside for Gegard Mousasi
there
in this?
There is zero upside other than the fact that he is showing UFC he will show up and take this fight. There's no upside. You have no idea really what this guy is going to bring to the table. He's been in there training with Alexander Gustafsson, so you have to say he's had a pretty good camp.
Yep.
Coming into this fight, a camp that's been timed out for this fight. There's not a lot of upside other than showing the UFC that he's still going to show up for a fight. He doesn't have to take this fight at this point. They could have tried to slide things around on the card. That's the problem, though. A lot of these fuel cards, I don't know if we want to see a Ross Pearson, Ryan Couture main event in the UFC anywhere.
Yeah, and so as you get down this card, and we'll talk about it in segment two, there's also some other interesting things on this card that I want to talk about. But this is a really big point for Gegard Mousasi. 5 days ago, he's in a title eliminator match because I think largely we were all hoping that this was a magnificent fight by one guy or the other that would kick Lyoto Machida out of this number one contender spot, because I don't think anybody wants to see that fight. Lyoto can say all he wants that he's figured out John Jones, but we all saw that fight, and I just don't think there's as much interest in seeing new blood in there. If Gegard would have gone out and dismantled Gustafsson, if Gustafsson had gone out and finished Gegard in round one, I think most people like Gustafsson and Jones as a fight because of Gustafsson's size. He's lanky, he's tall, and he can match him with that range and those elbows, and they have a similar fighting style. I don't think that Gustafsson is as dynamic as John Jones, but a lot of people were looking forward to this. And now you have Gegard Mousasi fighting a guy that is on 3 days' notice. Yes, he's been in with training with Alexander Gustafsson. On the other side, Gegard Mousasi thought it was Gustafsson, agreed to Vanderlei Silva, and is now fighting a guy he's never heard of before.
That's the thing. You get inside this guy's head. He's been up and down on a roller coaster a little bit, and Gegard Mousasi, I think, is one of those guys when you look at him going into fights. I don't know if there's ever been a question about his mental acumen going into those fights or whether or not he's got his head in the game, but I mean, I certainly think you would see times in those fights, and we saw it with that Big Mo fight a couple years back, and then I believe he drew with Keith Jardine, too.
Yeah.
That was a fight I think he should have won cleanly and handily.
Yes, for sure.
And didn't seem to have his head in the game. So you got to wonder, with a guy like that going into this fight all of a sudden, let's not forget the fights in Sweden. And this is, they threw a Swedish guy in there. There's visa issues. There's all kinds of things.
Yes.
Again, let's go back. That's why we thought Vanderlei would work.
Right.
Because he was already going to Sweden.
He's already there.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. So, yeah, upside on this fight for Gegard. The upside is he's in a UFC main event, and he should have a fight that he's capable of winning rather easily. So he's going to be able to highlight himself. I guess if we're looking for that silver lining for Gegard Mousasi, that is it at this point. But a lot of downside and not a whole lot of upside.
Yeah, he loses that fight, Ken. Holy cow.
You don't think he gets credit for taking the fight and doing the fight?
He gets credit, but, I mean, this is a fight where a guy like Iller could literally come out of nowhere and be on the scene in this division when he really has no business. Nobody was even giving him a sniff to join the UFC until they were in a panic and didn't, you know.
That guy's had everything to win. He can win a spot on the roster.
Yep.
He wins a UFC main event fight. Hell, he could be up there in that title picture hunt, you know, if Gustafsson's out for a while.
Right.
He's the guy that beat this guy and beats another guy. Hell, we got a new fighter.
Absolutely. All right, when we come back, we'll break down the rest of the card, because if you're not paying attention to the Facebook bouts, there's some interesting things that we'd like to point out to you. We'll do it next. It's Way of the Warrior, powered like Gun Like Casino, and you can find us on Twitter and Facebook. Just search WOW Show.
Follow our Twitter account at WOW Show.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, breaking down everything in the world of mixed martial arts, powered by Gun Lake Casino. UFC on Fuel 9, we have an interesting main event with, could possibly be two guys that you've never seen ever fight in Gegard Mousasi from Strikeforce.
You say nobody watched Strikeforce.
Right.
Come on.
I'm saying that, and Ilir Latifi from Sweden, a last-minute replacement for Alexander Gustafsson.
From Swedish Force.
The rest of the card breaks down like this. Randy Couture's son, Ryan Couture, is in the co-main event against Ross Pearson, Matt Mitrione against Phil DeVries, Brad Pickett and Mike Easton. That should be a great battle. Diego Brandao, he's taking on Pablo Garza, the Scarecrow, back in action, which should be cool. And Akira Constantini against Robbie Pertala, I believe is how you say his last name. However, we've talked about these Fuel cards. They're kind of star makers. A lot of these guys you probably have never heard of. What I found immediately interesting is on the Facebook bouts, you have Tor Troning and Adam Sella. You might recognize their names because they're current members of the Tough Cast going on right now. They are both out of the tournament. They both lost their bouts, but here they are showing up on a Sweden car because Tor obviously is from Sweden. But interesting, Ken, don't you think that they're already starting to roll these guys out because Dana made the promise every one of them gets a shot in the UFC. Here's your shot.
Well, we said this a while ago when we started talking about those fighter cuts. What is Dana's plan? We need the fighters. And what we ended up landing on was the fact that we need fighters, but they need to be at a reasonable rate. They need to be fighters that we can afford to pay and fill a card with and not overpay. Well, if you're a guy out of the Tough House and you haven't even won and your season's on, I'm guessing you're pretty reasonable as far as rates go, as far as getting you on that card.
But isn't that fascinating that the show's still going on?
Oh, certainly, but I think now that we know they're out inside the show, I think they just need to fill these cards. And you've got a guy from Sweden, why not throw him in there against another guy in the house? Hell, maybe you have a featured tough fight on all these kind of cards in the future and help elevate these guys. Because I'll be honest with you, I know that you've been watching the past couple seasons. I've been watching this year more than I ever have, and I'm still not catching all of it. I don't know a lot of these fighters when I hear about it. You'll tell me, oh, this guy was in this tough season. I haven't watched that thing probably regularly since Diego Sanchez was on the show.
Right.
What was that, season 3 or 4?
Right.
I mean, it's been a while since I've watched that show regularly. It's been and most of that time, I don't think it's making a lot of fighters. So get them on spots where I can see them in the UFC. You put them against each other, I'm not real happy about that because I don't think we're really gauging anything at that point.
Here's what I think's happening is Tor was a standout in the tryouts to get on the house and on the team and that sort of thing. Didn't have a great outing in the actual fight, in the actual tournament. And being from Sweden, this might be his coming out party, maybe a great matchup for him to kind of spotlight his abilities and perhaps maybe a fighter that Dana and Joe Silva want to bring in the fold and are hoping that they can shine, and putting him against somebody that he might have some already have fighter knowledge of, I think is an okay choice. Even though,
oh yeah, no, I'm not going to complain about any Facebook fight from Sweden. I mean, you're going to get a lot of latitude from me at that point. I think it's going to be on at 7:30 in the morning tomorrow. I don't know when these are on. What are we looking at as far as the live time? Do we even know?
I don't even know. Yeah,
it's Facebook fight.
It's going to be early.
Get up, have a coffee, watch these guys from Sweden fight that you can't pronounce their names.
Well, I mean, you've got a couple of guys. Tom Lawler is on this. Poppy Abetti is on this.
Yeah, Poppy Abetti's on there.
Poppy Abetti's starting this whole thing. So it's an interesting lineup, and especially as you get higher, you've got a guy like Ross Pearson who's been in the UFC for a long, long time, co-main eventing with Randy Couture's son, who I really haven't seen a lot of great things out of him in Strikeforce. He wasn't as dominant as I think people thought he was going to be. Of course, you and I made fun of a lot of the times that people
wrestling's not very good.
People would just assume.
Not really a wrestler.
Would just assume that he's an awesome wrestler because of his last name.
Wrestling's genetic.
It's not really how it works. But clearly the UFC is
he
like...
He should use more of his genetic wrestling in this fight, though, I really think, against Ross Pearson.
Yes, against Ross Pearson, you don't want to stand and bang with him. You want to use your genetic wrestling.
Make sure.
Take him down and use your ESP jiu-jitsu to submit him faster than possible. But clearly the UFC wants to test Ryan and see where he is. And go from there.
Yeah, this is a good fight against Ross Pearson. I like this fight for
Ross
him.
Ross isn't happy about it, but Ryan, I'm sure it's a good fight for
Why
him.
Why is Ross not happy about it?
I mean, Ross feels...
Ross isn't drawing a whole lot of dollars anyway. This is the first time we've talked about a Ross Pearson fight on the show. Ross needs to calm down.
That's hardly true. But Ross feels...
First time I remember talking about Ross Pearson on
Ross
the show.
Ross feels that Ryan is not on his level and that it's a little bit of a disrespect to him and maybe perhaps a disrespect to a co-main event spot for a kid who, like I said, his wrestling wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be.
He upset the apple cart a little bit, though, in that UFC on FX show. He was in the main event. He was supposed to be George Sotiropoulos' sacrificial lamb.
Yeah.
Because they were in Australia. And, hey, we're going to give you Ross Pearson. Ross Pearson beats him. So, you know, I get why he might be a little miffed about it, but I can't complain. He's in a co-main event here.
Sure.
Hell, he's in probably... the real main event as far as these fights are concerned.
I mean, the way that these things have been going this year, yeah, he's certainly in the real main event.
He might be by tomorrow. We don't know what's going on right now. It's April Fool's Month.
So some other stuff that happened this week, we get very close to the end of The Ultimate Fighter, and I was telling Ken off the air that I'm not really sure if Uriah Hall is that great or these guys just aren't even on his level because he has walked through everybody in this house. The way he destroyed Bubba McDaniels was nothing short of absolutely brutal. In that show, Chael Sonnen walks up to him and goes, hey, I fought in this weight class for 5 years. You're a title contender. Because he just walks through guys. Now, I'll be really interested to see him fight somebody actually in the UFC when this thing is all over. Josh Salmon, he finished Jimmy Quinlan, got stuck on the bottom, worked himself off, and was able to end the fight with a TKO. So next week's episode, you will get Josh Salmon taking on Kelvin Gastelum. You'll remember he's the guy that won the bet with Ronda Rousey to come and train. So he is in the semis. And Uriah Hall takes on Dillon Andrews. I'm sure he will walk right through Dillon Andrews because he's walked through everybody. But this is a guy, and we've talked about this, Ken, when you see guys come over from Strikeforce early in the relationship between the UFC and Strikeforce, they didn't do so well. Now, as of late, these Strikeforce guys are coming over and just finishing everybody because they feel like they have something to prove. We've talked about The Ultimate Fighter as of late. These guys really don't perform the way that we expect them to. And Uriah Hall is a guy I'm really excited to see in action in the UFC because the way he tears through people is ridiculous.
Well, you mentioned Ronda Rousey in the segment. I think it'd be remiss to note that when she visited the show, he admitted that they were rolling and she tapped him twice and couldn't get out of her arm bars.
Well,
so, I'm not. It happens to a lot of women.
The best.
And
wow.
He's not a woman.
Wow.
No. It happens.
Wow.
But I've got
really?
I've got to wonder.
She's got one of the best arm bars
in
on
the
planet.
World. No, she would
planet
kill me.
Earth.
She would. I would just cry if she walked in right now. I'd just cry, fall on the floor, and hold my arm without her touching me. I admit that. He said he's glad that they didn't show the rolling session on The Ultimate Fighter because I guess it went that badly for him.
Oh, boy.
But that's got to be tough, though. I'm just joking around with him. It's got to be tough to fight a girl, I would imagine, especially a world champion. in that house. That's a lot of pressure.
Like, seriously, why can't you just frame this the way that it is? No, somebody who gets him on the ground and taps him because that's all that they've studied their entire life is an arm bar. You're never going to get out of her arm bars.
It's a girl, though. It's interesting.
It doesn't matter.
You don't think mentally that can affect a guy when he goes in there and has to fight a girl?
You know, if that affects you
mentally. Fallon Fox aside.
All right, Fallon Fox jokes here.
I said aside. Uh-huh. I pushed her away. Yes. Whatever away.
Okay. I don't know. There. I just think if you're going to roll with somebody, you roll in jiu-jitsu especially, the match is what you make it. You know, if you escalated to the point that we're going for real and then you decide midway through that you're not going for real, you're going to get tapped. I don't care if it's a girl, a boy, a cow, a goat.
I get that. I just have to imagine. And again, I don't think it would happen necessarily with a guy. If he's rolling with a guy, he's going to go. But you're in there not only with a girl but a world champion in the UFC.
Compete in an absolute division with men because nobody else would compete with her.
You're not letting me finish.
Because you're being sexist. That's why I'm not letting you finish.
No. I'm not being sexist at all. I'm saying it probably was intimidating, and it's got to be weird to go in there and have to fight her. That's all I'm saying. It's just like when we talk about stories like girls who play football in school and the boys are afraid to hit them, and then they end up running all over the place. They get on ESPN. Is that necessarily fair? I don't know.
Wow.
I just ask the questions. The answers define what you think about the situation.
Do you don't think that Ronda Rousey is that good? You just think she's good for a girl?
No, I think she's amazing. I just thought it
probably... I don't feel that she's amazing.
That's what I'm trying to say.
This is not where I thought this was going to go at all.
I feel like he was probably caught off guard and didn't know exactly
because
what
she was
to
really
do.
Good at what... No, it was because she was a girl. He felt bad, right? Didn't want to hurt her.
I'm glad...
While she had hold of his arm.
I'm glad you're listening.
And he couldn't get it back. He clearly had no other choice but to spare her the beating he clearly was going to give her with one arm.
Finally, you're hearing what's coming through those headphones you're wearing. Thank you for clarifying that.
Oh, boy. That really just happened.
Are we going to get Ronda on the show, by the way?
Not anymore. We're not.
Damn it!
All right. Remember, you can get everything, including Ken's sexist rants on his blog.
No, that's
at
not
Twitter
true.
And Facebook. Just search WOW Show. When we come back, break down some news. And we'll get to segment three. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show, powered by Gun Lake Casino.
Yeah. Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, and since it has to do with boxing, we figured we'd bring in our resident boxing expert, Mike Allen, to cover what's been going on, and it will lead us into yet another discussion. So there's been some crazy stuff in the world of boxing that has been happening with our dear local friend, Floyd Mayweather Jr. He has an opponent who decided he's going to jail, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a typical thing, I guess, now with boxers before they get to a fight.
Right.
Some sort of domestic dispute or something to put them in jail. And, yeah, I mean, it's craziness.
Okay, so he's kind of up in the air, sort of. And out of nowhere, the Dancing with the Stars soon-to-be champion, Victor Ortiz, goes, hey, I've been doing all this dancing, and it's been going to my head, and I think that I've figured out the Floyd Mayweather. I figured out what to do. So I would like a rematch, and I'll do it for free.
Insane. Yeah, first of all, if you can't win a fight, I guess you should dance, because that seems to be the next logical step, too.
Which then, the feedback loop there is, then while you're dancing, you think that you can then fight again.
Right, yes, because dancers are amazing fighters, if you do the
There are a lot of them, yes. There are a lot of dancers that are amazing fighters.
You know, Ortiz, his last fight wasn't Mayweather. His last fight was last year, and he actually got his jaw broken. Okay, I mean, this is not a guy.
So he's been knocked out twice.
He's been knocked out twice in the last. Well, you know, he fought Mayweather September of 2011, I think it was. And then he had a fight in June of last year, and he got his jaw broken. I mean, he was humiliated. So here's a guy who has basically been shouting at everyone in a weight division near his.
Because I may know this story, actually.
You know, I mean, you've heard this one before. So here's a guy. I mean, he needs to get back into the ring, and he needs to really just fight someone who he can get by. I mean, he needs to prove himself again, and that's sad because, you know, he went into that Mayweather fight without a loss, and, you know, he was really on his way up, and I still think he's got a lot of talent. He's a good guy. He's a smart guy. He's a great fighter. But, I mean, you know, the fact is he didn't like how he lost to Mayweather, and, you know, I didn't like how that fight ended. We both were there.
Sure, but let me ask, I have two questions. Number one, do you think there was going to be a different outcome anyway, regardless of that odd knockout in the middle of the third or fourth round?
I think it happened in the fourth round. No, I had him losing. I mean, Ortiz, I had him down in the first three rounds anyway. He was losing his head a little bit. There was the headbutt in the corner, which kind of set that whole thing off. He seemed a little disoriented, and then, I think he knew that he was losing. You get in a fight with Mayweather, you have to score rounds. You're not going to knock the guy out. And if you're down 0-4, in the beginning of a fight, I think and he was in that situation where he just lost his head a little bit, not to excuse what he did, but he ended up getting knocked out. I don't like how that ended. I kind of wish that they would have made him, fight again right after that, just do this thing again. But, the Mayweather name carries a lot of clout, and he's getting older, and, to kind of answer your question from before, it doesn't matter if Ortiz will fight him for free. that makes no sense,
well,
first
no,
of all.
Well, no, because nobody wants to see it, right?
Nobody wants to see
now, is
that.
This strategy, I guess I don't see very often in boxing. Do you think maybe they're stealing a page from the Chael Sonnen book in that if you just start barking loud enough? Because, Mayweather's current opponent really isn't a draw.
He's not, but I mean, he's...
What's his name again? I'm sorry.
Guerrero,
there you go.
And that's not even the fight that I think a lot of people want to see. It's a tough fight.
Of course it's not. We want to see his guys...
Canelo.
We want to see Canelo, and
yeah,
if it's
absolutely.
Not Canelo, we don't care.
Right, and that will be the next fight.
No, it won't.
It will in September.
It will
I think that's going to happen. Well, regardless, I think at this point, Guerrero's a good fighter.
I'm
going to
bet you your own house that doesn't happen.
Okay, well, yeah, we're not taking that bet. Who knows what may happen. Yeah, The Pacquiao thing, I think, is gone.
Well, as it should be, really.
Right. There's really no point at this point in time. Mayweather's getting older. He's only got, although he signed a 6-fight deal with Showtime, I don't even see him getting through. If he gets through 3 of those 6, I would be surprised. He say he wants to fight twice a year. Ortiz does not fit in that situation anywhere. I think Guerrero does. Obviously, he's fighting him here in a month. And then Canelo, if he gets to Guerrero. If he doesn't, then there will be an immediate rematch with that. If he loses to Canelo, there's a rematch for that. And those count against the Showtime fight. So if he gets through both of those fighters, maybe if Pacquiao goes out and fights a couple times and wins, you might end it with Pacquiao. But at that point, I think you're already at 4 fights, and I don't see it going much longer.
So that leads me into our dear friend Nick Diaz. And we started this bit last week, so I wanted to continue it.
This week in George St. Pierre.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
I'm afraid of you, man. Are you crazy in the head, man?
Let me tell you something, uneducated fool.
This week in George St. Pierre.
So this week in George St. Pierre, we have Nick Diaz playing the part of Victor Ortiz in that he has convinced himself that he is a retired MMA fighter, and the only two reasons he will come out of retirement is an immediate rematch with George St. Pierre or Anderson Silva.
Right, and does that make any sense at all?
So, I mean, much like Victor Ortiz, it just seems like you've kind of gone off the deep end, because I don't see, much like the Victor Ortiz fight with Floyd Mayweather in boxing, I don't see anything at all in the GSP Nick Diaz fight that would illustrate to me in any way, even if I watched the fight in reverse, that something different was going to happen.
Nothing. And if I was in his camp, I mean, I don't see where this is helping him at all. I don't see where this could even connect to another fight or either one of those guys. There's no chance that they're going to get into the ring, because it makes no sense to get in the ring with
Diaz.
Let
me ask you this question, though. Would you watch Anderson Diaz?
I would watch Anderson fight anybody.
Sure you would.
So, I mean, from that respect, yes. Does it intrigue me? No, it doesn't really intrigue me at all. I mean, I don't see any place in that fight that I think that Diaz has a chance. And why would you want to watch a guy who you don't really think has a chance to have a competitive fight?
Well, I think to Diaz's point, he probably knows that Anderson isn't going to fight like George St. Pierre. Anderson isn't going to try and take him down. Anderson is going to stand in the middle of the ring and wait until he's going to knock you into sleepy time.
He's going to kick you with his foot right in the face.
Whatever he's going to do,
sure.
He's not going to take you down. So perhaps Nick is convincing himself that this fight is more interesting because nobody wants to fight this guy, and I'll fight anybody, and I know that Anderson Silva isn't going to take me down.
Did, in your opinion, did Diaz really get to that upper echelon of fighting where he can say to himself, you know what, I'm in a position where I can ask for these fights if I'm going to fight again. I'm going to try to weasel my way in here with with Dana and try to get myself a good fight because that's all I want at this point in my career? Or should he, like a lot of other fighters who lose championship fights, then be knocked down a couple of rungs and have to work their way back up?
Oh, he certainly, I mean, I have him, he was ranked 2 heading into the fight with George St. Pierre, which was probably a little inflated, and I have him at 6 right now, just because of the way that he lost. However, Dana and the guys are running a business, and when you look at a business, George St. Pierre and Nick Diaz did $1.1 million in pay-per-view.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's a big number. And so Anderson Silva and Nick Diaz might be really interesting from a monetary standpoint. And I'm not saying that Nick is right, and I'm not saying that it's a bargaining chip of him being retired that matters to anybody, because I think he makes MMA interesting, not in the same way that Chael Sonnen does, but he makes it interesting. But I don't know that a lot of people are going to miss him based on his last couple performances.
No, and I think you definitely run, you know, his antics, I think, can only go so far. I mean, you see it enough times. Eventually, you're going to be annoyed by this, especially if he's not winning the fights that he's hyping. You know, so, I mean, I guess I could see an interest in that fight solely because, you know, I'm an Anderson fan, and stylistically, I think it would be enjoyable, but that's about it. I still don't give Diaz a chance to win. But, you know, outside of that, I think you risk annoying your fan base.
Well, and to that point, you've got Chris Weidman on the books for July. After that, you've got two guys that we really want to see Anderson fight in John Jones and GSP.
Absolutely.
And I just don't know that, even though if it makes sense, it makes dollars sort of way, that Nick Diaz might be a draw, it's not going to be the draw that GSP or Jones is going to be.
No, and time's running short on Anderson, too.
Yes, it is.
You know, he doesn't have very much time left.
38 and 39 or whatever. I mean, he's going to fight till he's in his 40s, probably. But again, much like Mayweather, it's not going to be much longer. I wouldn't be surprised. And Ken has been in here talking about this, the business end of it. You sign him to a 10-fight deal because you know he's not going to make it to the end of it. But he's going to give you the GSP fight,
sure,
and he's going to give you the John Jones fight, and he's going to ride off into the sunset.
Well, and I'm always impressed by fighters. It doesn't matter, MMA, boxing, or whatever, who can make a career out of taking as little damage as possible. And I think Anderson definitely falls into that category.
Certainly does.
So he gives himself a little bit more longevity than I think a lot of fighters would have.
All right. When we come back, we'll break down the rest of the MMA news. Invicta this weekend, UFC this weekend, Bellator last night. All of it is next. It's Way of the Warrior on Twitter and Facebook. Just search WOW Show. It's brought to you by Gun Lake Casino. It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans. Sean Desai is out, which means, of course, that Mike Allen was in talking a little boxing in segment 3. We finish with a little news. If you missed Bellator last night, here's what you missed. You missed Pat Curran defeating Shamalegov due to a technical submission guillotine in round 1. Frodo over Mike Richmond via decision. Doug Marshall bested Brett Cooper with a knockout in round 1. And Rick Hahn KOs Carl Parisian in round number 2. And other than that, I am a huge fan of Tommy Toehold. I tell you this all the time. And this week he kind of outdid himself, so I figured we would end the show with Tommy Toehold doing his thing. You can follow him on Twitter at Tommy Toehold or on Facebook at Tommy Toehold. Please do, because the dude is hilarious. And without further ado, it's Tommy Toehold.
What's up, fight fans? Welcome to Triple THS. I'm the great and powerful Wizard of Oz, Tommy Toehold. Today, tough gets nasty, the ladies gear up for Friday night, Big Gus gets dropped, and we'll celebrate Chael's birthday. Plus a viewer comment of the week. Let's... What the? Vanderlei, what are you doing here? You're gonna step in for Gustafson on Saturday?
April Fool!
Damn it. April Fool, Sweden! Injury bug set card. UFC on Fuel set to pit Swedish John Jones against top contender casual fans have never heard of, Gegard Mousasi. But just days before the fight, Big Gus opened up a big-ass cut over his eye and was told by the Swedish Athletic Federation of American Wrestling Entertainment Pickle Sports, or commonly known as Sapoeps, that he was unable to compete this Saturday despite looking like this earlier today. Prompting me to say, what the f***? Sapoeps, but the UFC's hands are tied, and in the scramble that followed, a new opponent was announced for Mousasi, Ilir Latifi, or Ilir Latifa, depending on where you check. And while he may be sans English Wikipedia page, he apparently has a record of 7-2, and he's from Sweden, so that should appease the ravenous Swedish fan base. With the win in this fight, Mousasi will likely drop in rank in the light heavyweight division, and a loss will probably get him cut from the UFC. Queen Latifa, it is an honor to have you on the show. I loved you in the last holiday. I had no idea that you fight. Are you prepared for this caliber of opponent? I cannot wait to beat his bitch ass. Ooh, tough words, Gegard. Any response?
Is this real?
Oh, it's real. I'm gonna eat your cookies. Nom 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 nom.
Cookies? What?
You and I, T.Y., bitch.
Unity? Why has this happened to me?
Don't you eye me, you ostrich-looking I will devastate your organs with giant body shots. Do you know who the I am? I am Queen Latifah. I was in Ice Age 1 and 2. I can't catch a break. Things will get better someday, Gengard. Not again. What do you want this time, Vanderlei? What? You're retiring from fighting? That's huge news! Damn it, that's twice now. Get your popcorn ready, Dorothy, because it's going down on Kansas Friday night. Invicta 5 is rolling into town like a spring tornado and tearing your house down with gale force awesomeness. This card's stacked like Pamela Lee. You've got Thug Rose and very likely Pat Barry doing something awesome and hilarious. Sarah Kaufman debuts her prosthetic arm after losing her real one to Rousey. Cyborg Santos will rip some Aussie lady's head off in her quest to protect John Connor. And in the main event, we've got Adam Waite Go Jessica Penne defending her title against a sexy little black belt in karate, Michelle Watterson. Both ladies have had a bunch of fights and a bunch of finishes, making for a bunch of reasons the main event will be awesome. But wait, there's more. Fan favorite Rowdy Beck Hyatt will also be in action against mortal enemy and talker who isn't talking but is talking Jasminka Siva. These two ladies got more beef than Biggie and Tupac. You might remember Beck from her 5-round bout with champ Carla Esparza at Invicta 4, or you may have seen her on the interwebs promoting her fight like Chael Sonnen with boobs. An Aussie mommy with tons of tats and a gozer cut, Rowdy Beck is a mixture of adorable and dangerous, prompting me to make up a new word to describe her. Adorabarous. Rowdy Beck, great to finally have you on the show.
It's an honor just to be here.
It certainly is not, but thank you for lying to me. Beck, is it true that you and Ronda Rousey and Roddy Piper are all best friends and you go out drinking together every night?
That is not true.
Are you sure? You share the same nickname and that would be awesome to walk into a bar and see.
It would be, but no, we're not all friends. I mean, look at a nickname like Hitman. There's got to be thousands of fighters who use that. Are they all friends?
Yes, every one of those fighters are friends, and they all go drinking together. They have meetings, and they've made hats, but whatever. I guess the rowdy ones just aren't that close. Beck, it's time to get serious now. I would not be doing my job as a legitimate MMA journalist if I did not address this issue. It's kind of hard to ask. Are you a kangaroo?
Yes.
I knew it. Suck on that, Ariel. Boom! Your opponent's been talking hella shit. No way! What now, Vanderlei? You've just been elected president of the United States, yeah, okay.
April Fool!
We know, Vanderlei. But Ilir Latifah and the women of Invicta aren't the only people fighting this April, oh no. Guys, the big one is on the horizon and the build-up has just begun. In just 3.5 weeks' time, the American Gangster, the Pride of Westland, the King of Clackamas County, Jail the PS for Punishment Sonnen, will be taking on Winkle Jackson fighter and refurbished Bentley owner Jonathan Jones. And while John's busy proposing to his girlfriend and taping pictures of lions up to his wall, the people's chance for taking care of the promotion side of things, going full Ali mode in interviews and on Twitter. All the while getting after it in his Death Star gym floating high above the streets of West Lynn. A little birdie told me that it's Chael's birthday today, so I thought we should drop in and see how things are going in camp and to get a few words from the champ himself. Happy birthday, Chael. Gee, thanks, Tracy. Coming from a cartoon whose greatest accomplishment is having me on the show, that means a lot. Listen, Terry, the cake is a lie and so is John Jones' title reign. I need to make some popcorn next time you come on the show, so I can just sit here and enjoy this. Go ahead, Chael, do your thing. John Jones is what the Foo Fighters would call a pretender. He was pretending as a coach on Tough, he's pretending to be the light heavyweight champ, and he's pretending that I'm not gonna railroad him for 25 minutes on April 27th. Well, chugga chugga choo choo, just call me Thomas and friends, because that is exactly what's gonna happen when the cage door closes and there's nothing between my fist and John's face but a thin layer of leather. Make no mistake about it, we will fight. There will be blood. And when the smoke clears and the final bell rings, there's only gonna be one person left standing, and that is the man, the myth, the legend that is Chael P. Sonnen Esquire. You said you're gonna beat me in devastating fashion. You couldn't beat an egg in devastating fashion. I've got news for you, John. I'm not one of the senior citizens you beat at 205. I'm meaner, I'm badder, and I'm coming for your livelihood in 3.5 weeks. I fought the best fighter of all time, twice. So if you think I'm scared of spinning elbows and pictures of lions, you got the wrong guy. I'm gone, Tina. Alderaan isn't gonna blow itself up. Kaboom. It was the last two quarterfinals fights this week. First up, we had Jimmy Crash and Double Fist McSalmon. Jimmy's game plan? Wrestle the Josh. Josh's game plan? Double punches. After a few shots at the start from Josh, Jimmy dropped the house on Salmon like the Wicked Witch of the East. Then we had a 4-minute scramble with Jimmy going full Conan mode and Salmon flopping around like a salmon. But things broke up in the last minute, and Josh dropped the Jimmy and took his back. Then proceeded to do what any fighter would do when they had an opponent's back, double punches. But they worked, because Crash could take no moss, and Josh is moving on to the semis. Last fight of the quarters would be Uriah Sorry Adam Hall and Bubba McSleepy. In lead up to their bout, Uriah spent his time preparing for his eventual title fight with Anderson Silva, while Bubba prepared by taking naps, going to the hospital, and being exhausted from having to fight 15 times in the last 4 days. The bout ended before it started with a nasty counter right by Hall, leaving Bubba Mc paralyzed for about 10 minutes. Uriah gave his usual apology for turning his opponent into a vegetable, then he left the octagon and KO'd Adam Sella again for good measure. Next week, we have the last episode of the season before the finale, with Josh Salmon taking on Dark Side Dark Horse Kelvin Gastelum, and Uriah Hall getting a bye week and heading straight to the final. Viewer comment time! Each week I scour the comment section on YouTube, searching for a reason to keep doing this show. And every week you fail miserably at making me want to come back, but you do succeed at being hilarious. And this week's funniest goes to Tigger's Revenge, who said, "The legend says that this show was so terrible terrible that when Clegg Guida first watched it, he was so disgusted in its utter misery that he jumped out of his computer chair and started furiously running and hopping away. He hasn't stopped running since. This is the legend of why Clegg Guida can't ever stay still, no matter what he's doing. And now we know. This show, Fight Fans, tune in next Wednesday when I play Just Dance with Vladimir Matyshenko.
And that is Tommy Toehold. You can catch him on Twitter and Facebook at Tommy Toehold. Please do, because every week is as hilarious as that. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook by searching WOW Show. It is Way of the Warrior, brought to you by Gun Lake Casino. See you at the fights tomorrow night. Invicta tonight. Enjoy them both. We'll catch you next week. It's Way of the Warrior.